Yeah, we're hopefully going to have a bit of time at the end just to celebrate what God has done. Just as Dan was sharing about his story, that is replicated throughout this room this morning. Many, many lives have been changed, transformed. God broke in at just the right time, completely turned lives around. Lives that were broken, lives that were people were going through all sorts of things, facing all sorts of issues. But at the right time, Jesus broke in, brought forgiveness, eradication of shame and guilt, and brought new life in Jesus. That's why, as Christians, we get really excited about Easter. Get really excited. Because it's not just a moment which we think, okay, well, it's time to remember and celebrate something that happened a long time ago but has no implications for us today. It has massive implications for us today. It is the thing that the whole thing of Jesus rising from the dead has an impact on our life today. It's the reason why many of us here this morning are here, because of Jesus. So, for whatever reason you are here, now it may be various reasons, you may be here because you're visiting friends or family and they've pulled you along, that's cool. Maybe appeasing parents, that's cool as well. Maybe the promise of an Easter egg or lunch afterwards, that's cool. We're just really glad you're here because of what we have to tell. Nothing to do with us. It's just how God has impacted us and changed our lives. Now, if you did wake up this morning and you received an Easter egg, anyone get an Easter egg this morning? Yeah, a few. I forgot about my Easter egg this morning. I'll look forward to eating that later on. But apparently you'll be joining in with, I think they say between 80 and 90 million Easter eggs are consumed today in the UK. 80 to 90 million. That is a huge amount. You could say that's an exceptional amount of eggs. Hey. I'm here all week. I am. But we are not here to talk about Easter eggs, but we're here to talk about the true meaning of Easter and why this message that we've sung about, we've heard about, we've watched an animation about, why this message is so important to us. So it's not just, Easter is not just about having a break. It's not just about, oh, it's Easter holiday, although Easter holidays are good, okay? If you're going away camping, hey, what a great time. But it's not just about going away for a break. It's not just about having family time, although that's really important and really good and really lovely. And it's not about eating copious amounts of chocolate, although, hey, that's good as well, in moderation. Nor is it about just going to, I expect some of you have been to places like B&Q this weekend, along with millions of others, to get stuff for your garden because you think the sun's out, it's looking great, I can make a start on the garden. And at Easter time, that's a huge thing. But Easter is not just about those things. It has something of a way deeper meaning to us. And this morning, I just want to look at one verse from the Bible. And the verse is found in the book of Romans. Hopefully it will come up now, but if you're unsure. The book, the Bible, is a collection of books, and Romans is one of those books found in the Bible. And this is the verse. It says, "And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." And that's what, in essence, the message of Easter is about. Jesus being raised from the dead, so that we could have new life in Jesus. I read the other day that during the Napoleonic Wars, you'll all know about the Napoleonic Wars in the early 1800s, France against England, France lost, England won. But when those wars were taking place, apparently, when they were waiting for back in England for news of how Wellington was, the Duke of Wellington was getting on, they obviously they didn't have text, Twitter or Instagram. They couldn't upload his latest feed or anything like that. So what they did was apparently they had a system of communication where there were communication ships in the channel, and there was a lookout post on the top of Winchester Cathedral. So when they received news about how the battle was going on, then there would be a horse and a rider at the bottom of Winchester Cathedral, so that they could take the news to London and spread the news. But it was sometime after June 1815 that a signal ship came into view, but a severe fog almost prevented the signal from being seen. But the essential of the message got through. They were Wellington defeated. News spread quickly around the local area, but it was only when the fog fully lifted that the true message was discovered. Wellington defeated the French. And that story has striking similarities, of course, with the Easter message, doesn't it? That on Good Friday, we hear about Jesus being crucified, Jesus dying, Jesus being buried. But that isn't the end of the message, is it? Today, we celebrate that Jesus isn't just defeated, but Jesus defeated death. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is why Easter is so important to us, and this is why millions and millions of Christians around the world today are celebrating this morning that Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, and we too may live new lives. So there's just three things I want us to just focus on, three things for you to take away this morning as you go throughout your Easter to remind you of what Easter is about. The first thing is this: Easter is about God rescues. God is a rescuing God. And this is something that is seen throughout the Bible. But as you may well know, that throughout history there has been some amazing rescues. Even this week, if you've seen any of the news, there was the story of the rescued puppy. Did you see the rescued puppy in Ukraine? That a bomb-damaged building had collapsed, and firemen had heard the muffles of a dog barking and yelping. And so on this video, you see the firemen scraping away the rubble, pulling out bricks, taking away all the stuff, all the dust, all the debris, and then just pulling out this gorgeous little puppy and bringing it out of the rubble. These people were rescuing this puppy that couldn't rescue itself. It needed somebody else to come in and pull the puppy out. We see it throughout history, though, don't we? Where people need rescuing. Groups of people need rescuing. One of my my favourite stories is that of Operation Nimrod. Ever heard of Operation Nimrod? Operation Nimrod was when I was a kid, so I suppose it impacted me because I remember seeing it on TV, this happening. Operation Nimrod in 1980 was the siege of the Iranian embassy in London. And a number of hostages were taken captive, and the baddies, as it were keeping them held captive, and they wouldn't let them go. And so what happened was they sent in the SAS to storm the building, these military people, to storm the building. If you remember seeing it on TV, they abseiled down the front of the building. They broke in, they smashed the windows, and they rescued those people that were being held captive. It's one of the greatest successful operations of rescuing that's ever taken place. But in essence, it was people who couldn't help themselves. People were held captive. They needed rescuing. They wanted to be rescued. And so someone had to come along to bring them out and rescue them. Another operation that people you may be familiar of about, I was too young when this took place, but Operation Isotope in May 1972, where members of a terrorist organization, they stormed a plane in Israel and took these passengers, 90 passengers, captive. I don't know if you remember the story. A few days later, they sent 16 special forces, military people who were trained soldiers, dressed up as technicians, because they said the plane needs fixing. They sent them in and they rescued all those people that were being held captive on the plane. Now, what did all these have in common? Well, they all have in common that, as I said, people at times need external rescuing, external help. You're in a situation, and no matter how hard you try, you can't rescue yourself. You need someone to break in. Easter is all about that. Easter is all about us in a situation where we really needed help, where we really needed rescuing, where we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves from our sin, our wrongdoing, and all the stuff that we've done, all our guilt and muck-ups and mess-ups and all of that. We couldn't save ourselves from that. We needed somebody else to rescue us. That person, of course, was Jesus. The Bible says that everyone who is born is born into sin. That means you can't know God because of your sin. It's like a barrier, stops you from knowing God. But Jesus, our great rescuer, and defeated sin, defeated death, broke that down that wall, and now we can know him. So we, that verse that, you know, we just had up, so that we may now also live new lives. You could call this Operation Empty Tomb, if it was given a name. There's another verse that we're going to just bring up from Colossians 1:13, and it says this: "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." He rescued us. When we couldn't rescue ourselves, he rescued us. So that's the first thing I want you to take away with you this Easter. If you're a Christian, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you can rejoice because you've been rescued. But if you aren't a Christian, if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, there is an opportunity for you to be rescued. Now, moving on, second point is this. God rescues, but he also is a God who reconciles. Now, I know that's a bit of a big word, reconciles. We're just going to explain what that means. Reconcile is a word that we don't often use that much nowadays, but it basically means restore friendly relations. That's what it means. If you're out of sorts, if you go to school or at college and you have a bust up with your mate and you think, oh, they're being annoying, I'm not going to have anything to do with them, but you were good friends, you go away, and you need to be reconciled. You need to be brought together so you can be made friends again. And this happens throughout life. It happens all across the world, between individuals, between families, even between countries. But God is a God who brings together. God reconciles. Now, the next verse we're going to look at is from Romans 5:10. Okay, it says this: "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son," okay, that's reconciled by the death of his son, "while we're still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son." Okay? So Easter is celebrated by Christians all over the world today. And we can celebrate this because it's all about that we've had our relationship restored with God through Jesus. So many people are unhappy in the world today. And as Christians, we can say yes, because I can say that because I once knew of what it was like. Before I was connected with God, so unhappy. So unhappy. But when God breaks into your life, when you're reconciled to God, when you're brought together through Jesus, you can be restored. A couple of weeks ago at church, I had this, that an image came to mind about an undone jacket, a zip-up jacket, but it was undone. So you know what it's like. You put a jacket on if it's a zip-up one. On one side is the zip. And in my mind, it's sort of like this picture of the zip. And sometimes you have the logo of the make of jacket you're wearing on the zip. And there's a J on this zip. And there's the image that I had in my mind of the two bits being put together, the two ends of the garment being put together, and the zip drawing it together, that J getting hold of it and being pulled together. And that is an image of what happens when somebody trusts in Jesus. You who were once far away from God can be brought near through Jesus. You can have your relationship with God restored, brought together only through Jesus. We see it in the Bible quite a few times, actually, this type of imagery. For instance, the prodigal son. We all know the story of the prodigal son, where the son said, I want to live my life the way I want to live it. Thanks, Dad. And I just want to go off and do my thing. And so he goes off, and it says that he spent all his inheritance. He blew all his money. He lived how he wanted to live. And then for a while, things were good. But then things started to peter out. And if you've lived any amount of years on this life and you know what that's like, you think something will bring you joy and happiness in the world, whether it could be drink or drugs or anything like that, partying, relationships, anything. For a time, it seems good. This is great. This is fine. But then realize, actually, it's not really bringing fulfillment. And in the story of the prodigal son says, he says he came to his senses and he thought, hang on, what am I doing? In my father's house, even his servants have food to eat. They're all satisfied. They're all happy. And here I am in a right state. What am I doing? I'm going to go back to my father. And that's what he does. And we know the story that when the father sees his son, it says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son and the father had been reconciled. They'd been brought together. And that is what Easter is all about. We were away from God. Last week we looked at this, didn't we? Completely away from God, but through Jesus, we who were once far away have been brought near to him. This is what Easter is all about. It means to be reconciled, to be made whole, to be brought back into right relationship with God. It's what happened to Dan. We heard Dan's story, completely just unhappy with life. but he was restored, reconciled to his heavenly Father. It's happened to loads of us, happened to me, happened to so many people in this room. So it means that Easter is all about, yes, we were rescued when we couldn't rescue ourselves, but also we were restored to a wonderful relationship. Now we can call God our Heavenly Father. Last point is this. What does Easter mean? It means we can rejoice. We were rescued, we were reconciled, restored, but we can rejoice now. I've been a Christian for 25 years. Some of you have been Christians for way longer than that. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. But I think we can all absolutely say with confidence that even through life has been ups and downs and hard times and tough times, we can say absolute with confidence, God has never let me down. Never let me down. He's never abandoned me. I've never had that sense of I'm alone in this world since God broke into my life. I've never had that sense of I'm doing this on my own. What is life all about? I've never had that sense since God broke into my life. That is why I can rejoice. That's why I can lift my arms up this morning, praise God. Yes, absolutely, bad stuff still happens. Go through real tough stuff. But it's knowing that God is with me in all of those things. That's why we can rejoice. The verse that we're going to just look at now, it says Romans 5:11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. That sums it up brilliantly, doesn't it? So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ had made us friends of God. We're friends with God, adopted into his family. That's why when Jesus, in John 16, he says to his disciples, guys, in a few days, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be nailed to the cross, but I'm going to rise again. And he says this, he says, you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. And as a Christian, we can say, yes, my grief, my sorrow, my sadness has been turned to joy because of Jesus and only Jesus. In life, there are many things in life that bring us happiness, aren't there? Many things. And whatever floats your boat, that will probably make you really happy, going out on the water, running, doing whatever, eating chocolate eggs. Hey, and that's great. But those things that you do that make you happy, that happiness, as you well know, only lasts for a short amount of time. Going on holiday, brilliant. Oh, really happy about this, really joyful about this. Come back, got to go back to work. All those things bring you happiness, but that happiness lasts only a short period of time. Jesus, the joy of knowing Jesus, lasts, period. Will continue to last in our life because of what he's done for us. So we see this in the Bible when Jesus knew that his disciples would grieve, but he knew that joy will follow. We see it on the road to Emmaus when Jesus speaks to those disciples and they were downcast. They're thinking, oh, Jesus died and he was meant to rise again and all of that. And then at the last minute, he opens their eyes and he says, oh, it's you, Jesus. When you spoke the scriptures, my heart was burning within me. I thought that. And it's like that sense of joy. So this is what we are reminded of this Easter Sunday. Jesus has risen. That means for all who trust in Jesus and believe in what he's done for you, you will experience brand new life, removal of guilt, removal of shame, forgiveness, and freedom from all sorts of things. Romans 10:10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise of Scripture. That's a promise of Scripture that you can take and hold on to. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then you will be saved. This is why we rejoice this morning. We're joining in with millions of other people across the world today because of Operation Empty Tomb that took place. Just want to leave you with one last verse, okay? Just going to read this out, and then we are going to have a time of worship and praise and rejoicing. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 7. This is from the Message translation of the Bible. It says this: because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful truth. If in some ways words fall short of trying to communicate what Christ has done in our lives, in my life. But I can honestly say that over the years, and I'm not just speaking on behalf of myself, but many people in this room, that the Easter message is the most glorious, powerful, joy-filled message that you will ever, ever hear. Amen.